Are you also tired of one-size-fits-all weight loss plans? Meet Noom, the personalized solution that meets you where you are. Noom is able to understand your unique needs, from dietary restrictions to medical concerns. Unlike restrictive programs, Noom embraces your lifestyle and choices. Discover a sustainable approach to weight loss, tailored just for you. Honestly, Noom felt like it was made for me. It's not just about what I eat. It's about understanding why. With Noom, I've learned so much about myself and built healthier habits that stick. It's all about progress, not perfection. Say goodbye to restrictive diets and experience the Noom app for yourself with personalized lessons and expert coaching. Noom's psychology and biology-based approach has helped over 5.2 million people achieve their goals. Stay focused on what's important to you with Noom's psychology and biology-based approach. Sign up for your trial today at Noom.com. That's Noom.com. And check out Noom's first ever cookbook, The Noom Kitchen, for 100 healthy and delicious recipes to promote better living. Available to buy now wherever books are sold.
Hello and welcome to Start, Sit, Cut, our beginning of the week mini episode. I'm one of your hosts, Lance McCoy. And joining me as always, he just gives up 34 and a half points a game on the regular. It's Jason Waterfalls. Jason, if you had a job and your only job was to not give up a lot of points and you just gave up a lot of points all the time, very consistently over two seasons, would you then be surprised that you got fired with two games left in the season like Alex Grinch with USC did?
I think this is like a scapegoat situation, right? When one of your coordinators gets let go this late in the year, like, do they expect that the defense is going to get better now with this person gone? Is that the expectation?
You want to hear my theory? You know what I think it is? I think it's Lincoln Riley. There's an interesting hair situation going on at USC because Lincoln Riley is in like full, you know, middle age, like losing some of my hair in different places, right? Alex Grinch, if you notice, he poses as a bald man. But when he lets it grow a little bit, there's no baldness there. He just chooses to go cue ball. So when it grows back a little bit, it's growing back all over his head. And he almost looks like a Guess Who character. And I feel like Lincoln Riley was like, first of all, dog, you did me dirty because I thought we were like bald brothers. And then secondly, your defense isn't that hot. And thirdly, I'm a little jealous that you can just grow that thing back whenever you want to. So for those three reasons, more the first and the third one, honestly, you are out. And I do wish you luck.
What do we do with Caleb Williams at this point?
What does Caleb Williams do with Caleb Williams? Because I feel like he's like, this is bad for me. The more we do this, the less good. Or is it good for him? Okay, I'm spin zoning myself in the middle of a spin zone. Is he like, I want to go like CJ Stroud. I don't want to be like the guy at the top. I want to benefit from a little bit better team. So I'm just going to play like trash here for a little bit.
So you think he might be doing this on purpose? Because the stuff went around where he laughed at Max Duggan last year crying. Uh-huh. And then he was obviously in the stands crying quite a bit. I feel bad for him. I feel not bad for him at the same time. It's a situation where, you know, not the biggest fan of USC here at the house.
Sure.
But I've been riding the Caleb Williams bandwagon pretty hard. And then the stuff came out where he's like, I want part ownership in a team. Yeah, that's not happening. Yeah. That's not a thing.
And well, then, okay, but he's anchoring on give me half. Now he'll settle for like, I'll take 10. I'll just take 10%.
Art of
smart.
The deal.
It's really smart,
art of the
actually.
Deal. But now it's just like, I think this is better for him, honestly, everything being considered, about the idea that play a little bad, okay? Now, when you go to the NFL, you're going to get a lot of publicity for being like, see, he was bad there. Now he's good. So I'm with you on the spin zone. Genuinely, I don't understand how you just fire the defensive coordinator. Yeah, they're terrible on defense, but it's not like they're, you know, revolutionizing the offensive game anymore either. So
yeah,
what are we doing here?
I feel like the time to do that was probably earlier in the year. So I don't know exactly what we're fixing. I think the unintended consequence of what Caleb Williams is doing, if he is faking being good or faking being bad, which I think we both agree that he is. So we are reporting on that. It's officially double sourced. I think he misstepped because after the game there, I think someone was like, what do you like? How are you going to cope with this? And he's like, I just want to cuddle with my dog and watch Netflix. I feel like that's going to rub some NFL guys the wrong way. They're going to be like, what does that mean? This guy's a dog cuddler. Is this guy trying to Netflix and chill with his dog? Like, I can see Todd McShay breaking this down. I can see Mel Kiper having an issue with this. I don't know if he knows what he actually accidentally stepped in.
Okay. But spin zone to that, because we are Caleb Williams spin zoners for some reason, all of a sudden. He has a deal with Netflix, and he's just a great businessman. He wants 50% of your NFL franchise, and he already owns 50% of Netflix. And that's why he threw that out there.
I love it. I think that's great. I hope so. I hope he owns part of, I hope he comes out as a part owner of Netflix and part owner of like the Cardinals. And I would be like, I'm impressed. I don't know how you did it, but I am impressed with what you did. Jason, I'm not going to ask you what's good because that's what we do later in the week. I do want to ask, though.
Well, we'll get in. I'm pretty confident we're going to get into how I'm doing in this episode.
No, you know
so
what?
You don't have to ask or not ask how I'm doing. I have a feeling, I have a strong suspicion we're going to be getting into it.
No, this is going to be accountability corner. I was going to sit this or cut this. I wasn't sure. I was going to check your vibe, but I'm going to go ahead and do it right now. You kind of sent some pictures to the text thread about your cool new deck, which looks awesome. Looks amazing. Looked like you were really enjoying it Saturday. And you also sent the text thread some pictures of, pre-cooked, like just on the egg meat, right? But you never sent post egg meat. And I do feel like that is a big faux pas. You can't put the pre and not put the post. So I just want to, like, as a friend in love, check you and be like, hey man, you kind of really let me and Andre down.
Okay. So care to comment. So your start.
Now this doesn't even exist in the hierarchy, man.
We are checking in on how I am then. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
This is interesting. Yeah. Okay. So I'll send the updated picture. Yeah, there were ribs. They were delicious. Two different rubs were going on in that situation.
Show don't tell, dog, you know?
Your angle here from a guy that never sends any pictures of any meats that he grills at all ever, and then just says, just did a brisket. It was delicious, but we never get any pictures ever.
That's fake news. Angle, you know that because I've never made an edible brisket in my life. And you know that.
It doesn't matter if it's edible. Or maybe that's why I didn't send the follow-up picture. Maybe they were burnt. Did you think about that? So from that perspective, I will say it is a wild move from you to accost me when from 12 to 3 on Saturday, I had a lovely time out in nature, ran some power cords, just had an absolutely wonderful time. Nothing that could have happened would bring me down from a situation where I was just truly enjoying the day outside on my deck.
Yeah. Yeah. Nothing to talk about in the 12 to 3 window, I would say. You know, I think we all agree on that. But I just wanted to bring that to your attention, man. I just, you know, I'm not trying to put you on the spot, but I just want you to know that's the code. You put the pre.
I don't know that I took post. A final picture, to be honest with you.
Even if you said, hey, I'm not going to send a picture because what I just did really devalued the value of these meats. That's still fine. That's communication. And that's great. I wouldn't expect anything.
They're delicious. Go ahead. Check your messages.
Okay. Well, that's just check in. Just friendly accountability.
Updated picture of my meat sent to you. Do you like it?
Well, I was really in a voyeur mood on Saturday because I haven't been smoking food much anymore. So I was going to live vicariously through you.
And you know what? A little bit of communication. Hey, I need an updated picture. That's all I need. You know, I didn't know if you were, I sent in pictures of kids throwing football. We had the fire going, F1, sprint race. All of that was just like the best part of the day of just watching my kids, my family, enjoying the deck, just having an absolute wonderful day.
Just and not really nothing... disappointed by anything. You know, how can you be disappointed when all that stuff is happening? You know?
Do you want me to spin zone Notre Dame?
Is this what you're going to start? Do you want to start spin zone and
listen, this
Notre
is
Dame?
Start, sit, and cut all rolled into one. So let's just get into it, okay?
Okay.
Here's my spin zone. It's good that Notre Dame lost because they have a good person as a coach.
That is true. They do. And I will say they didn't lose. I don't want to like fact check you here. That was a Notre Dame loss. So they've only lost 1.5
games. I appreciate you giving me a Notre Dame loss. I don't think I can give myself 3 in a season, but sure. Hear me out. What if Clemson's good now because of Tyler?
Tyler, I almost started with that of like, take that Tyler from Spartanburg, which again, you just can't get any mileage from a 12-year-old lecturing you on something that's true. And then be like this little inspired us to beat Notre Dame. I don't know. That one doesn't have legs for me.
We like Aaron Rodgers. We find chips on our shoulders wherever we need to. Right. I mean, and that's what Clemson's doing, but I'm going to parlay the Notre Dame loss, which sucks. Dabo, very punchable. Clemson, the worst, obviously, et cetera, et cetera. I'm going to parlay that into Marcus Freeman. Good guy. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Charlie Weiss, good guy. You know when Notre Dame was really, really good? When that meatball Brian Kelly was here. And yeah. I don't like him anymore. But you know what? Him, Dabo, freaking Urban Meyer. These are not good people, in my opinion, allegedly, that are running these programs. I actually think Nick Saban might be the exception, not part of that group.
Yeah.
I'm wondering, is Urban really going to Michigan State? Because it's heating up.
Are you trying to distract, honestly, right now?
It's not a distraction when it's directly related to having good coaches that are good people and having elite coaches that are horrible people. It is directly related, and that's why I want to talk about Urban possibly going to Michigan State, because that's important to the Notre Dame narrative when you're thinking about Notre Dame not having enough points compared to how many points Clemson had at the end of the game.
I kind of want to do a power ranking this week of like most unlikable people in college football, because I feel like that might be fun just to see like where we land, because I feel like there will be some surprises. But it, to your point, it does, especially watching Clemson this year, it feels like almost the experience of watching Game of Thrones, where it's like the whole point of Game of Thrones was to undo tropes and cliches of storytelling. So right when you think the knight in shining armor is supposed to win, right when you think the hero is supposed to defeat the villain, they never let you have that. And that's what it feels like with Clemson this year, is like right when I feel like I'm going to get justice, Dabo always tweaks it. Dabo yep. always squeaks out. Or even if I'm like, hey, actually the villain's kind of cool this year, then he like poops in the bed. And I'm like, I didn't even get to have fun being a cool villain. Like, he's always underwhelming me and letting me down. And I'm just kind of frustrated at that, to be honest.
And that's exactly how I feel about Urban. And that's why this is all about Urban and not about Notre Dame losing to Clemson. Because that was, you know, just a really good game to watch. And I'm so happy and everything went super, super fantastic. There's no way he actually goes to Michigan State, right? Like, we were joking. I'm not kidding. When you talk about Game of Thrones and these people, there's no redemption arc. There's no none of this stuff. Him getting another major program it's not fair, but yeah, I mean, it's like, did Sam Hartman have two interceptions and only 146 passing yards? Sure. But why is nobody talking about Cade Klubnik only having 109 passing yards?
It's a good point.
Because Maffa ran for 186 yards? That is the best running back in college football history. That guy could not be stopped by the Notre Dame defense, which we thought Notre Dame had a good defense, and it forgot. Like, that's actually the problem here, is that Notre Dame's defense did not show up. And I got to say, Phil Maffa, which is an incredible name of a golfer, for the record, not a running back. That's an incredible golfer name. Phil Maffa he might be the best running back in college football history.
Oh, is it a better golfer name, or is it better World Series of Poker final table guy?
Oh, you know, love that. Yes.
Phil Maffa, yes, wants to see what's coming down the river. Urban is not on. I'm looking on SpartanShadows.com, who has betting odds on who's going to be the next. I'm sorry, this is from Bet Michigan. So there, let me double source here. Urban Meyer does not appear on this list. Most notably, Pat Narduzzi, Brian Hartline, Jim Leonard. I always want to say Leon Hard with Jim Leonard, because that's how it's spelled. So I don't exactly know how to pronounce that, but Chris Elko's on there too. There's some interesting candidates. Nobody really sexy though. So I just want to assuage your Urban Meyer feelings right now.
I might be out on college football completely if Urban Meyer is the Michigan State head coach. After what just happened, you can't have the guy with a finger in his booty.
Mm-hmm. Or, no, it wasn't his booty. It was someone else's booty, to be honest.
Got that backwards. As the guy that's a follow-up, apparently 3 days ago, talks hit a snag. And I wonder if the snag was, are you a good person or not a good person? And then he was not able to answer that in the way that, you know, the definitely conscious people at Michigan State wanted the answer to go. So maybe that was the snag.
Do you think maybe he's just pretending and he's trying to get Fox to pay him a little bit more money to stay? And no one, this is what John Gruden kept doing to ESPN with Monday Night Football. And he'd be like, Tennessee really wants me, and I think I want Tennessee. But if you pay me $8 million a year, I will stay here and not go to Knoxville. And ESPN kept doing it.
I hope that's over. And speaking of over, Notre Dame, 3 losses. That's the end of the season.
Let me do this. This has kind of been a little negative. Let me do positive.
Hold on. What was negative? because we have a good coach that's a good person.
That's true. Just the Notre Dame of it all and the Urban Meyer of it all, right? I want to emphasize you had a really great Saturday. Looked beautiful. Everything
Remember
looked
great. That. I was in I nature.
I am seeing the
I was
pictures
outside.
Of your meat now. This looks great.
Thank you.
Good charring, not too Thank much, you know. I can't tell that there's a lot of juiciness, but it just feels like there was. I think we need to give credit where credit's due. And Andre told us, he let us know, this is fishy, stay away, this is radioactive, don't do it. And I couldn't resist, but I just like, shouts to Andre. He reveled in it probably a little too much for your taste, but he was correct.
That this I don't understand fishy. Why it was fishy. Like he said, this is a trap game. I don't understand. I'm asking genuinely how it was a trap game, because the season that Clemson's been having and the season that Notre Dame's been having, being -3 on the road at Clemson, I honestly didn't get that. And I felt like if I would have gone back with that to Andre, we wouldn't get down to the brass tacks of it all. Mm. Do you know, like, why to you was that line fishy? Notre Dame -3 at Clemson, based on the season that has happened so far for both these teams?
Well,
I felt like that was pretty right.
In retrospect, yes. I feel like the optics of Notre Dame has felt better because of, you know, they did have a Notre Dame loss against Ohio State. Louisville, I feel like a lot of people didn't see that as much. Like it wasn't like a sexy game. Clemson, it feels like the expectation for them was high going into the season, and then they've underwhelmed. So I think it's all about our expectations of each team going into the season. They were probably overvalued on Notre Dame, under on Clemson, and the reality was probably pretty... It was probably a pretty legit line, right? Obviously now in retrospect, but I think it's just the squares like us, you know, the dummies like us not perceiving that. Or that's for me, not you.
I want to make this into a learning experience. That's all I'm asking for is some concrete information that I can do better next time.
Speaking of coaching, the thing I'm going to start this week is, we wrapped up our college football, or I'm sorry, we wrapped up our soccer season this Saturday.
Were you on the sidelines for this game as a coach?
No, you know what? I came in like some interim? People are saying like a youth league Cincinnatus, and I filled in when I was asked to. And then when my sister came back, the rightful coach, I stepped back. Okay. You can't lose your coaching job by having an excused absence. I believe in that. Right. So I took back to the sidelines. Ashley and my sister took over, did an excellent job this season. You know,
they were calling you the Jeff Saturday of youth soccer.
Well, I don't love that, to be honest with you.
Care to comment?
I actually hate that, to be honest with you. But I know where I belong, and it's not on the sidelines. And we ended the season. We did take a loss in the playoffs, but it was the best game we've played. Marlo turned a corner. She became a scorer this season. She had like 5 shots on goal that missed by this much. So she played great. Ashley, my sister, did a great job coaching. And I want to say that in regards to the officiating wasn't the best.
Oh, here we go.
No,
okay.
No.
Just, here we go. Okay.
Just for everybody.
It was too safe of a buildup to not have something there. So I didn't know where we were headed, but now I know.
I'm not even blaming the officiating, but what I am blaming is the ability to handle just youth soccer, the ability to handle bad officiating, and the ability to handle really, really obnoxious parents. On all sides.
The worst.
That is, and that's where I knew I wasn't made for the sideline. That's where I knew I had to, and I don't even sit with the group of parents because I can't, you know this better than anybody. There's like Kendra said on Survivor, there's a rage in me. There's a fire in my bones. And in competitive situations, I just, this isn't even a bit. I can't control myself and I'm scared of what I will say and do. So I have to stand under the grove of trees away from people. And this playoff game there, I'm sorry to say this, there was an enclave of idiot parents who didn't understand what offsides was. And every time their team would go offsides and score and it would get called back, right? They would celebrate like the, if you've seen Benchwarmers, when they bring in Carlos, when Craig Kilborn brings in Carlos, the man who says that he's 12 years old and he starts hitting bombs and like throwing heat. And people are like celebrating with cowbells and like, you know, spraying champagne all over the place. That's what it felt like. And I just wanted to turn a fire hose like on myself and on my eyes rather than have to see that again because it was so obnoxious. So really credit to me probably for showing restraint. I guess that's
what I guess that's what it feels like. I'll tell you this. I don't coach my kids because of the other kid's parents. Because I think if I was coaching and any of that was going on, I'd be like, look, parents, don't talk to me. Don't talk to the refs and don't talk to your kids.
Yeah.
Pretend that you're at a game that you don't even know any of these people.
Yeah.
And so it just gets, and like, has there not been offsides for the rest of the season so far?
Well, like, I will say credit to, not credit.
It sounds like officiating was good in this particular scenario.
They started calling it the last two games. So it's tough for kids to learn. There's no rules, just right. And now you suddenly go into an Outback and they're like, actually, we do have
they started calling it the last two games?
So it's confusing for a lot of people.
On purpose or on accident?
I don't know if they're just like, honestly, now I don't know if they're like.
Now we're implementing it?
I don't want to deal with the parents and calling offsides for the first like eight games. But now these last two, I do have to because I have honor as a referee. So I'm going to incur some wrath. But the game had to be paused. Parents had to be told to chill out. And it's just like, just don't be that person at a kid's game. Where when a ref has to be like, please, I make $40 for this. Would you please just show me respect by being silent?
For this day.
It's just not worth it. It's just not worth it. I don't know. So
all right, we went from negative to negative.
No, let's go. I'm saying let's go to great job, my sister. Great job, Ashley, for being.
And the kind you said of great job you.
And great job me for not getting into fist fight. That's true. But lowercase good okay. job. Good
I
job
love that
to my sister and my wife for being the kinds of people who can be on the sideline and be a human.
Let's go to my start. Let's go to a real positive experience.
Okay.
Joshua Dobbs.
Mm.
He's on like his fourth team this year. Let's see. Yep. Cleveland, Cardinals, Vikings. He probably started, you know, the preseason somewhere else, OTA somewhere else. Who knows? That guy, he got sacked. He had a fumble. He had whatever he had. I don't remember exactly. And then he turned into an awesome player, as he always does. He didn't know the plays. He took no offensive snaps in this week during practice. And then he comes in and he wins the freaking game. Now, I do want to say that him and Baker Mayfield are very exciting to watch.
Yeah.
And I think that there's some comparisons there. I don't know if the IQ is exactly the same, but I was watching Red Zone and there was a point at which Joshua Dobbs and Baker were both very, very late in their games and ran for first downs at the same time.
Yeah.
And that was the most excited I have been about the NFL in a while. It was very, very fun to watch. So I'm starting Joshua Dobbs, but also in that particular situation, watching two quarterbacks very, very late in the 1 o'clock games. I think it was like under a minute left in both games in the fourth quarter, running for first downs was pretty electric. So he did it with his arm and with his feet.
You know, I was watching at the same point and I was captivated. And I didn't know the extent, because I knew Dobbs had been traded. I didn't know the extent to where he just didn't know the playbook and just didn't really know anybody on the team. He was like, you're Justin Jefferson. Oh, he's not playing. He's not here. What? Okay. I'm sorry. I don't know anybody then.
Well, you're Osborne. Nope. He got hurt. He's out.
Oh,
you're
great.
Cam okay, Akers. Crap. Nope. He got hurt. He's out.
You're Chris Carter. I'm sorry. That was, anyways, whatever. But it does feel like Josh Dobbs, like I worry about him is what I'll say. I worry for the safety of Josh Dobbs, not because the Vikings can't block, but it does kind of feel like, I don't know, man, like I'm trying not to be a conspiracy theorist, but it does feel like big quarterback isn't going to like Josh Dobbs, right? Like, you know, sometimes like on the footer ads of websites, like you'll read an article and it'll be like, doctors hate that you know this one trick to be healthy or whatever. And it feels like Josh Dobbs, he's going to be the poster boy for like, people hate him for knowing that actually playing quarterback isn't that difficult, you know, because he just rolls in, led them to a win against a pretty decent Falcons team. You know, they're no slouch. This wasn't like the Panthers or whatever, just handing the Colts like pick sixes. I'm worried for his safety that he's going to get taken out because coaches like Jordan Palmer or the one guy who used to show up on game day, but now he doesn't show up anymore. I'm worried that they're gonna be like, if
wait,
he
who's
makes
that?
Look, it's the dude. I can't remember his name, but
sorry, I didn't mean to call you out, but I'm just like, oh, I like kind of like this conspiracy. Just Jordan Palmer shows up on podcasts. I don't know if he shows up on anything else, but you're talking about a different quarterback coach, right?
Credit to Jordan Palmer. He shows up on podcasts and they're all kinds of like podcast guests, but some are like, I'm gonna sit here. You're gonna ask me questions. I'm gonna give you an answer. I'm gonna sit and wait for the next one. Jordan Palmer's like, great to be here. You can go. I'm going to do a little Bill Walton and just like, you just like chime in to let me know you're breathing.
Hey, and I'm
just
that's what experts do. You know what I mean? If you never let the other person talk, you were the expert in the situation.
He owns the room. I love it. He's an interesting guy. But I'm going to look up the other dude. I feel like it was Charles something. Anyways, I'm just...
LeClaire?
I'm just worried that Josh Dobbs is going to get in, like, I don't know, a car accident, and people are like, oh, I don't know what happened. Guess he can't play quarterback anymore.
But you know what? So. You know what the real thing is? It's already happened to him, and you're exactly correct, because he is a rocket scientist, right? He is very, very smart. He cannot stay anywhere, to the point that the Browns, which have an incredible defense, and Deshaun is doing whatever not Deshaun thing, Deshaun things in Cleveland, they picked PJ Walker as their backup, and they're like, all right, we'll trade you to Arizona, right? So then he goes immediately to Arizona and immediately starts and immediately plays well-ish. And then you know what? Then Kirk goes down and they're like, you know, you've been helping us not win games, but be competitive here in Arizona. Let's get you off to Minnesota. And then he goes in, no days of practice, whatever, and wins a game. But this just goes back to his entire career. Pittsburgh, Tennessee, the 4,000 other places that he's played. What you're explaining has already been done to him. You're going to get a little shine, but you're not allowed to stay.
Yeah. It's the quarterback coach I was referencing, George Whiffle Jr. That's who I was thinking of.
Oh, I know that name. He was on Game Day for a minute.
Yeah, I think he was on Game Day last year, or the year before. Time's kind of a construct at this point. But yeah, I just I don't know, man. I don't know. I'm just a little worried. So I want him to be safe. I want him to be okay. Protect Josh Dobbs at all costs.
I think he's just like the best backup. He's like Chase Daniels, but gets to play. Like he's going to make a lot of money. He's going to keep going around. He's going to be around for a while. He's still pretty young, but he's just a backup quarterback that gets to play. Like it's crazy.
You know, you mentioned Kirk, right? Obviously, I think we talked about Torres Achilles tendon, and I haven't noticed before where they do the you can see the moment where the tendon snaps. You know, like we did this with Rodgers. I saw it kind of making the rounds on the internet this week with Kirk Cousins. And that's great. That's a great, like I can watch that. No problem. Do you think we need like a rating system for injuries where it's like this clip's rated PG-13 and it's like Achilles tendon snap. And then it's like, this is
Kevin Will Ware Smith. For Lewis. Yeah. Will Smith. Yeah. Kevin Ware and Paul George are like NC-17.
Yeah. That's right. This is X. Or that dude, the Villanova dude who the internet tried to convince you like his eyeball popped out. You know, for a minute, like in whatever game that was, like I do kind of want a little bit of a writing system, or just like a watermark of a letter or number.
Not a full screen warning.
Yeah, come on, like just help your boy out here. Again, I don't want big TV to like censor what I see, but I want to have control over what I see, and I want to understand a little better. You know, okay, what are you sitting this week?
All right, this week I'm sitting myself. Mm. You and I, CJ Stroud, we love him.
Yeah.
He has one of the best spirals in the league. I'm sitting myself because D'Amico Ryans.
Did you not bet the offensive rookie of the year?
Yeah, I did. I did.
Okay.
I did. Okay. D'Amico Ryans, CJ Stroud, Texans. They're courting me. They are courting me.
Listen, do we need to run the audio of earlier this season where I accuse you of soft launching your way back into being a Houston Texans fan?
And we're not going to do it, but play audio here. I like everything about this team. They run on first down. CJ Stroud's incredible. D'Amico Ryans is the handsomest coach in the league. He's like what Dave Aranda wants to be in Texas, but D'Amico Ryans is pulling it off. It's D'Amico, just like,
this is an important point. I'm glad you brought this up. Robert Saleh is handsome. I don't trust him. Okay. I don't trust him.
Correct.
D'Amico Ryans is handsome. I trust you.
Exactly. Trust you, dog. Thank you. At some point, we do need to talk about the Jets, like maybe aren't terrible, but I don't think that's today. I got to tell you, this Texans team, I'm not saying they're great, but they are exactly the type of team I like to watch. Ugh. And CJ Stroud might be behind Josh Allen, lost another game. Josh Allen is the Notre Dame of the NFL, so we can all just say that and move on. CJ Stroud might be my favorite quarterback in the league, not named Josh Allen on a good day. I'm trying to think who would overtake CJ Stroud. And I've been on him since the beginning. And I also want to say Ohio State doesn't put NFL quarterbacks in positions to be successful. No. And CJ Stroud legitimately looks really, really good.
Dude, like the ball he threw when Baker took him down and scored, and CJ gets 46 seconds and they're marching down. He threw like a deep post or something to the corner to the sideline, threaded the needle right over the safety. Like
I thought that ball was like 10 yards overthrown, and then it just started slowly sinking right into the guy's hands. It was incredible.
It's he looks really young. I'm not accustomed to CJ's being good. And anything. So that's new for me. But, you know, as of 4:13 PM yesterday, you said, do I love the Texans again? I think it's okay. It's okay to love the Texans. Just make it official.
I can't make it official. This is the Bills season for me as a fan. Why? I'm on year to year contracts because I'm not going to Hugh Jackson.
Show me the contract. You signed the contract. This is not a cruise ship, dog. We're nimble. Okay. We're like those bayou boats. We can flip that thing around if we see a gator, if we want to. Okay. We don't got to like take 3 hours to turn this thing around. Like, go ahead. Just jump.
Season by season. I'm not jumping. I still like the Bills. I still think they're good.
You have a type and you have like doubled up on all your types. So I would say you need to shake things loose a little bit. Go make some.
I don't know if going back to the Texans is how I shake things loose at this point, but I appreciate the commentary.
You got a franchise quarterback. You got a beautiful man who's the head coach who looks trustworthy. Boom. What else do you want? Okay. That's no Bill O'Brien right there. Okay. Do we need to do like an episode where we do like hot or not NFL coaches and rank them and see if like we can. Is there a correlation to record and hotness, like in a good or bad way?
It's like one extra piece. It's not just hot or not. It's like hot, not, or
hot, not, or tater tot. Okay.
Something, because Salah is, if we're just doing hot or not, then Salah's hot. But if there has to be like this third category of what we end up doing, like it's the Cliff Kingsbury. I never thought he was that attractive. But when he was sitting in that Arizona house during that COVID draft, he looked very hot, right?
So it's like Shades of Grey vibes. Just say
it's like situational hotness going on. So there's like this, it's like a gimmick. It's like hot, not, or what did you say? Tater tot?
Tater tot? Because that's interesting because tater tots are, I think, often good in theory. Then when you get in, you're like, I don't think I want this. I don't think I like this. I agree. Okay. So good in theory. Okay. Hot, not, or tater tot. I'm gonna write that down. We'll figure that out. We'll figure out when to do that. That was your, okay. I'm going to sit. This is, it's official. I don't know if this is how other people are observing this or experiencing this. But it's officially Christmasless season, wherein my kids will inundate me with gift ideas that do not make sense and do not fit the budget. And then also, we are the hub of distributing information to grandparents to like what they're going to buy. And it feels like Tom Cruise in Minority Report, where I'm like, I'm dealing with the precogs. I'm dealing with like the high tech information, and it's just an elaborate symphony of siphoning information to where it should go, where it's supposed to go. Does this grandparent know how to get this thing? Do they know what to do? Do they know what size? Can I trust them to do that? And it's no criticisms to anybody. It's I do feel like an air traffic controller right now. So it's tough. So prayers for your boy right now.
What if we introduced a technology that let them tell their grandparents directly what they want? Wouldn't that be crazy?
I know. But you know what? See, they don't just they distribute all of the information to one, like in one message, and then it's like, I want to make sure we're getting stuff too. Like, I want to get cool gifts for the kid. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Because otherwise, people jump the gun, and it's like, oh, okay. Well, everybody got all the cool stuff, and now I'm just going to get you socks, like really good socks, but. That's not what you want from your parents, you know?
Oh, I thought you meant you personally wanted to get good stuff from the grandparents as well, but you meant to give your kids good stuff as well, not just socks.
Because that's if you're young parents, parents of young child listening, that's the dicey part is if you have different sets of grandparents, the rookie mistake will be to distribute all the gift ideas and then everyone gets all the cool stuff. And then you forgot to save some cool stuff to get for your kids. For yourselves. So then you're left with like real, like out of left field gift ideas that are feast or famine, or you don't have any good gift ideas. So that's a good pro tip is make sure you keep some in the
pocket. Okay. I do it a little bit differently, but it's kind of the same result is I won't pass along everything, but we end up getting the kids each a medium plus thing. Uh-huh. I won't say what's written on the tag regardless. Cause it could be, you know, different names get written on the tags if you will. And when that present is shown or not shown, but we get them like a medium plus thing so that we kind of, you know, we get credit for that. But then we ship off all the other expensive stuff. Like if there's something that one of the kids really wants, but is not a high end price tag.
Yeah.
Right. we will hold that one out because sometimes it's not just about the price tag. It's how much they want this certain thing and how obnoxious this drum kit is, but it wasn't that expensive or whatever the case may be, however bad they want it, right? But then there's also the idea that you can place blame on the grandparents, like, oh, but let's keep that at the grandparents' house, right? Like this drum set. So like have the grandparents get it and then we'll leave it there because they want to practice drums with their grandparents at the grandparents' house, right?
Oh, that's next. Like the drone with the strobe light. That's not at our house. Sorry. We got to get that over there.
Yeah. And then not only that, then you have a built-in reason to pawn them off. It sounds like I don't love my kids. I do. I really, really do. But then you have a reason to pawn them off to the grandparents. Like you've got to go over there and practice your drums. So yeah. there can be different layers to this situation of how you end up playing it out. But
it's Tinker Tailor, dog. It's Tinker Tailor stuff here. Okay. It's like layers within layers of gift ideas and facilitating information. I'll wrap up here and do my cut. I had like a baby one. There's not a lot to say because the story itself is kind of like all you need, but Daryl Morey admitting to a reporter that he had had oil paintings of James Harden commissioned and put them, staged them in his living room.
Say again, please. What did you just say?
You didn't hear about this?
I didn't see a single word of this, and I'm still a little bit confused in digesting what you just said.
So Daryl Morey at some point...
The GM of the Philadelphia 76ers NBA franchise.
That's right. That's right. He had at some point oil paintings commissioned of James Harden. And not only that, but he put them, staged them in his living room to like where he hosted people and entertained visitors and guests. And that's just crazy. That's just a move, you know.
There's got to be more to the story. Like he did one of Embiid as well. He did one of whoever his best favorite players were in Houston, not named James Harden. Like there's a wall of
Morey's favorite.
Is this like one of those where it's like yellow, red, blue, and green, and then it's like mixed up and it's like all James Harden faces, but different,
like a collage of smaller pictures. Even if it's a Jackson Pollock and he's like, that's actually, it's abstract, but it is James Harden. It's just, is it weird? Yeah. I think it's more a, this is just, I have way too much money. And this is the kind of stuff you do when you have way too much money. And I would love more.
You don't manifest into the world what you're about to say. We don't need to know about more people with more money doing weird things.
I think I do though. I think I want, instead of cribs, I don't want cribs. I think what I realize is I want more niche. I want just weird purchases.
Instead of cribs, you want canvas.
Yeah.
And it's just, what's the weirdest thing you've paid money for with oil painting on canvas?
Yeah. Or just like anything in the world. I just want to see the weird, and I don't even know that I would judge. I just want to know when you have that much money, what are the weird, stupid, strange things what are you doing? Are you buying holograms? You got them in your backyard? Like, I just want to know. I just want to know what these rich people are up to, you know, these elites. Like, what are they up to? But I didn't really have that. I just wanted to.
I'm kind of back in on holograms in the backyard now. Like, instead of statues, there's just like PVC ran to certain parts of the yard. Then there's some concrete. And then there's the hologram just rotating and talking to people and fake throwing balls to the dog.
It would have to be dynamic.
Okay. Hear me out. New business opportunity. We do a hologram in the backyard, and then at the base of the hologram, we have like a ball throwing machine.
Yeah.
And then now you're playing fetch with your dog all day with a hologram, but you don't have to do all the throwing and standing outside all day. And then the dog returns it to the
you're like, thanks, Sandy Koufax. Go ahead, toss another one. You know.
Well, I was gonna give credit to like the owner of the dog, so that when you get home, you have a tired dog and you get all the love.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess we could give credit to Sandy Koufax as well.
Look, if the price is right and someone wants to bring me back, you know, after I pass away and they're like, hey, just do you start to say cuts on Mondays, you know, and my family gets paid like a million a year. Yeah, I'll do that. I'll talk about stupid stuff, you know, from the grave. Whatever, man. Like it's a business, you know, it's just a value judgment at the end of the day. But my real cut, I wanted to, we've talked about the Bills, we talked about Notre Dame. I think I wanted to ask you, like, what are you more worried about? Because
Wait a minute. Why is your cut about things happening bad to me?
No. I just your stances are more interesting in terms of the evolution of where they're at, right? Because
I actually make them. Yeah, I like teams. I put myself out there. Correct. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I don't want to fact check you, but like when you say like the Jags are gonna be good and then the Jags are good, like there's not much to do with that, right? When you're like, this is the year of the Bills and it's not the year of the Bills. that's interesting. I want to check in. And I think the probably listeners, so many people DM me and are like, hey, how's Jason doing with Josh Allen? You know? And I'm like, I don't know. I have to ask him. And they're like, be gentle with him. And it's just a whole exchange, just a whole thing. But I like, are you more worried about the future of the Bills and the future of Josh Allen? You can take those separately too. Are you more worried about the future of Notre Dame? Are you more worried that Bama is going to sneak into the playoff after you said that they're dead? You said Bama's dead. Bama's no more.
I also took them, to be fair, and they won. So yeah.
That's okay. I'm just checking on the takes. I'm checking on the take status, you know?
The take, I don't understand how this is a cut.
No, I'm saying which would you cut? Be like, I'm not worried about that. Or I'm cutting that off. Like I'm done with that. That's done.
I'm not worried about Bama figuring out how to get into the playoffs.
Really?
I'll say that. Notre Dame is, they're done for the season. Josh Smith, who we love, he texted me and said, see you in the Cheez-Its Bowl because Oklahoma lost to Oklahoma State. So
rough.
Notre Dame and Oklahoma in the Cheez-It Bowl. Here we go. Marcus Freeman's amazing. Sam Hartman, you know, was a great rental. It's the Bills. It's Josh Allen. About? Yeah. I mean, is this a secret way to give Joe Burrow credit for you? Is that?
No. No.
There's another angle here that I'm still trying to figure out. So I'm hesitant to like give my full answer until I figure out what your entire ploy is right now.
No, listen,
and the next thing you're gonna say is no, there's no ploy. Yeah, yeah.
All my cards are on the table.
Do you want me to do your voice to me? You sent me a message this week in an audio message and you did an impersonation of me.
I did. And I said that was my impersonation of you. It's like that's why I didn't hear back from him for a few days. Like it hit too real.
No, it was good. It was good. It was good. I liked it. I'll say this. I fear that the combination of Buffalo's history, Sean, don't call him McDonough, and Josh Allen are not the combination needed for the three of them to succeed. I don't think that Josh Allen slips much. Even after this entire season, as far as the tier that he's on, does he go down one? Absolutely. I'm not going to argue that anymore. I don't think putting CJ Stroud on this Bills team solves everything either.
No.
I don't think putting a healthy Aaron Rodgers on this Bills team solves everything either. Like, obviously, I'm not going to say Mahomes or something like that, but I think that they're a well-rounded team as far as like spherical, but that sphere is small. Okay. It's like hemispheres. No, I'm just kidding. So
the ceiling is the floor on that on the sphere.
I do think that that's what's going on. It's a bunch of B+, A- situations lined up together, and that's the Bills. That being said, I don't understand what's going on with the Bengals because it seems like all of the same things could be said, but Joe Burrow's just the best piece out of all the pieces of the Bills and the Bengals, and so that lifts them up because You've ripped on Zach Taylor. We've ripped on the Bengals. I've tried to stick up for the Bengals. I've stuck up for Zach Taylor. I don't see earth-shattering stuff happening there. So is it really just Joe Burrow and vibes and Josh Allen, who has a great vibes guy, is just not a winning vibes situation? That might be the case.
You know what I think it is? I think it's simple. Josh Allen feels like he's got to win every game himself. Joe Burrow does not. And the Bengals can run the ball. And the Bills cannot. And I feel like that's really like when you break it down, that seems simple, but that's actually what it is because the trickle down effect of all of those things kind of feeds into one another. So I feel like in terms of quarterbacks, they're not that dissimilar. I do think Joe Burrow will take the check down, take the 8 yard over the 28 yard, you know, and you need that. Sometimes you need to take the cheese or whatever. But I think I was more interested, and it may be too soon. And if it is, you can say that. But if someone walked up to you and said, I don't know that Notre Dame has the right coach, would you be like, take it back or we fight? Or would you be like, I don't know. Interesting.
Listen, this goes back to the beginning of the episode. I don't want Urban Meyer. So I want Marcus Freeman to stay there as long as possible until Urban Meyer is officially canceled. And then we don't have to have those conversations.
Yeah. I don't know who, I don't know what the future looks like for Notre Dame with their quarterback. Like, I don't know what they have coming up. I mean,
it's always, you know, some multiple stars, some top of this, some transfer, you know, it's just all kind of crazy right now with the portal, because no matter what, like the minor league system has right now at quarterback for Notre Dame, boom, 1 second later, somebody's transferring to Notre Dame, like Sam Hartman, and it helps out quite a bit. Now, there's still three losses with Sam Hartman, so we love the guy more than we love the player at this point. But I think that that's kind of one of the things that's going on is that Marcus Freeman's got to play the portal better, but did it really well with Sam Hartman.
Sam Hartman was a good college quarterback. I do think I was probably wrong in thinking he's going to be a good pro. We're probably looking at sixth round Sam, probably, you know, and that's my fault.
Second round Sam, late second round Sam.
I think it's six. I think it's a six or seven round Sam, probably. That Clemson game was just overwhelming. He looked like he'd never been on a field before. Yeah. And I think the speed was just a little different.
You alleged that he may have been concussed. And
I asked, the question. I'd missed some footage. And it was like, he's playing like someone who was concussed.
It was honestly one of his worst games. And that's not the spot that you need to have that worst game in.
The stat of like, man, like Sam Hartman can't beat certain teams. That was... That's tough. That was tough to see. Even though, you know, Clemson's a good team. Like, it's tough to beat for any quarterback.
Did you hear them say it, or did you just see the stat? Because on the broadcast, they compounded it. They're like, by the way, he was 0-4 against Clemson, but he was also on the team another time when they played Clemson. So he was 0-4 as a starter, but he was really 0-5. And I'm like, how many years has this guy been in the freaking college football? Because he's 0-5 against Clemson before the game was over. So now he's like 0-17 against Clemson somehow.
I feel like they were like, let's go down to Molly, who has some anecdotes about anytime he watched Clemson, his team lost. Molly, it's like, can you just give the guy a break?
Quick fact check here. Buffalo had more rushing yards than Cincinnati did last night.
Did they really?
Yeah. And Josh Allen was the leading rusher of the game.
Yeah. That's again, that's probably not what you want, though. You know?
Just, no, but you know, that was one of those games. Stats.
It was weird where, like, I don't know how you felt about it, but it was like, this is at halftime. I was like, I know how this ends, right? It's not going to be a blowout. It's going to get a little closer, but there, at no point am I ever going to be worried that Buffalo's going to win. And that's kind of how it played out.
Yep. We need a players only meeting, but with the coaches in Buffalo. You know what I mean? We need one coaches, of those kind of type of reset. Maybe Jeff Saturday comes in. Maybe Antonio Pierce comes in and tells a story about how his team.
Did you hear that story?
Pulled it together. Do you want to tell it? It's
just the Antonio.
It's maybe Pierce, the best story I've ever heard.
Who played for the 07 Giants was like, y'all, this was before McDaniels got fired with the Raiders, and he was like, y'all, we need to have the heart of the 07 Giants, you know, underdog, blah blah blah. And like everyone's hyped up, and Josh McDaniels was like, don't ever talk about the 07 Patriots again.
Well, Josh McDaniels, according to the story, and now it's probably getting a lot of, you know, filler onto it. Josh McDaniels asked Antonio Pierce to speak to the team and pump them up a little bit because a lot of the players like Antonio Pierce. And so he told the story about beating Josh McDaniels' Patriots. And so then they got into a fight and then Josh McDaniels got fired. So you can tell where the players were in that particular situation.
Josh McDaniels, hot, not, or tater tot?
Tater tot. Full tater tot.
He is maybe the best definition of tater tot. Better in theory, you know? Then you get him there and you're like, this guy, no, it's not it.
Because I think like Matt LaFleur is going to be a not. There's hot, not.
No, I think he's just hot. Tot. Matt LaFleur is hot.
See, this is why we got to get into it. Because if he's hot, then he could make Jordan Love be better than he is.
Oh, no. This is purely physical. I'm just talking about that's a hot man. Like that's a hot looking guy.
Well, right? Yeah, I know that. But like that's where the gimmick's got to not just be us talking about hot men or not hot men.
Why? The people, we've done the polling. People want us to talk about hot men, you know? You've seen it. You've seen the data. We'll work it out. We'll workshop it. We'll figure it out for later this week. But that's our sit cut for this week. Big thanks to you, Jason, for finally sending pictures of your meat. Maybe we'll put that on social and let the audience benefit from that as well. And as always, I'm Knox. He's Jason. We'll see you next time.